We must understand and end the human rights disaster that is occurring in occupied Palestine, and one way we can do that is by listening to voices that we would never hear otherwise. To hear Palestinian voices that go unheard in the corporate and state media, tune into this radio station every week. This is Kristen S. reporting from occupied Palestine.
The year 2003 was devastating as usual for the Palestinian people at the hands of the Israeli occupation. Overarching theme of the year, as has been the case for several years, is the lie. First, the lie that we see when negotiations are happening. Negotiations can't happen between two unequal people. The Palestinians don't have a chance in these so-called negotiations. We see the roadmap. We see the Geneva Agreement. And just like in Oslo, when it was an agreement that wasn't good for the Palestinians in the first place, they're still waiting to have the little bits that were good for them implemented. And so we saw the same thing happen with the roadmap this year. Now the Palestinians are back in the position to beg for something that's not good for them in the first place. And so that if they get anything from it, it's something that the Israelis gave them. There's a lot of dissembling going on around this and the same kind of idea of using the lingo of ceasefire. This suggests there's two equal sides at war. It also just doesn't bear truth when it's looked at all. The two-month-long ceasefire this summer was 57 days. All Palestinian political parties and the resistance factions within those political parties agreed to this ceasefire, and they held to it. Keeping in mind during this that it is legitimate under international law to fight back against an occupying and invading force. But just the same, for all these days there wasn't anything, there wasn't one act of armed resistance. And keeping in mind also that during this intifada, only 2% of Palestinians have engaged in armed resistance against the occupation. So for these days, the Israeli occupation forces continued to occupy the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, continued to impose checkpoints, continued to make Palestinians ask permission to go from one Palestinian village to another. And at the same time, they engaged in targeted assassinations. We saw them happening throughout Gaza City. We saw them in the middle of the Gaza Strip. We saw them in Nablus and in Jenin, targeting of specific people. And this is illegal under international law. And this somehow went through during this so-called ceasefire. Besides that, people still suffered from home demolition and the regular daily life of being shot at in a place like Rafah, which brings to the next point of the next story for the year of things that have gone unreported or underreported, the complete devastation of the southern Gaza Strip town of Rafah. This is a town that is beyond devastated, a town that I was in well over a year ago and thought that I couldn't see anything get worse. And somehow the Israeli occupation forces have found more homes to demolish in that place. In one weekend alone in October, 2,000 Palestinians were rendered homeless. In one weekend alone. So you can imagine in a year, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Palestinians are homeless from this one town alone. And the Israeli military keeps on doing it. Today they just killed 8 people in that town. All the while they're building a wall. And while they're building this wall, they are targeting the electrical system for the town. They target the sewage system and the water supply. The water municipality can't keep up. The sewage lines become totally blocked and flood. And so what's left of these devastated neighborhoods then become flooded in sewage and even more uninhabitable. So that brings us to the third story of the year, which is the wall that's being built in the West Bank. This apartheid wall, this closure wall, whatever you want to call it, is being built inside of the West Bank. It's creating cantons. Palestinian towns are being cut off from each other to the point where it's not like prison, it is prison. Palestinians are being separated from their land. There's complete closure of towns where there's just one way out into the rest of the West Bank, like Qalqilya. Or you have a town today, for instance, where the Israelis went in and demolished two homes, and they said, we're going to be back and we're going to demolish these 11 more to make this wall. Where are those people supposed to go? This is inside of the West Bank. You also can see from the map that the West Bank will be divided even more than it already is through this, through the route of the wall, into sort of generally three areas where you can pass in between them if you can manage to get through the checkpoints, but you can't really pass out of them. And that's just general areas. And then you have dozens upon dozens of small areas that are totally cut off or just left out altogether, or people lost their entire, all of their land or their entire lives that they've built there. There are five villages next to Ramallah, a large city by Palestinian standards inside of the West Bank, as I'm sure most of you know. And there are five villages, and they're going to be completely wiped out for the map, when you see the map of the wall. So this is another thing that's been happening, which brings to the next point, which is Jerusalem. In building this wall, Jerusalem becomes even more cut off from the rest of the West Bank than it already has been. There's something called the Jerusalem envelope. Jerusalem already is almost impossible to reach for most Palestinians, even though it is supposed to be the capital of Palestine. In taking away the legitimacy of this real claim to Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine, even the New York Times is also helping in this dissembling sort of language in this transferring of ownership, as it were, to this city by saying, Washington said to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem said to Washington, when they're talking about a discussion between the U.S. government and the Israeli government, as if Jerusalem is, of course, the capital of for the Israelis, and that's, of course, why the Israeli government is conducting itself out of that city now, because it's so much a part of Palestine and it's being completely run over. There are more and more settlements being built inside of it, settlement expansion, and this hasn't stopped at all. So which brings us to the next point of settlements. Settlement construction and delay of removal. We saw a much broadcast removal of some what's referred to as outposts by the Israeli government. Well, these are uninhabited little places that don't make much of a difference to anyone. And they shipped in some settlers to have a row with the Israeli soldiers who are supposedly dismantling the settlement. Well, it came out even in the mainstream press, in the mainstream British press, that they all shared tea after the cameras left, that this was a staged act, as we know that they are. The settlements that are really causing the devastation are the settlements that no one has stopped building, no one has stopped expanding. Palestinians are losing their land, losing their agricultural abilities because of the destruction of their land, destruction of all of their property. We saw olive trees from Palestinians being, besides that they just get demolished by Israeli tanks and bulldozers at will, we saw some being carefully uprooted and moved inside of an Israeli settlement, Palestinian olive trees. These are the life source of a lot of Palestinians and really important, not only economically, but important historically as well. So the idea of the raising of agricultural land has led a place like Gaza to not be self-sustaining anymore. Last year, they produced enough fruit and vegetables to take care of themselves. Now they have to import. This is a way to get economic, to not allow economic growth and to force the people to be dependent in all sorts of ways, in every way, on the Israelis, which ensures that there's no possibility of a viable state. And that's the point of the Israeli agenda, is to make sure that there is no viable state. In 1973, Ariel Sharon said, when he was asked, what are you going to do about the Palestinians? What's Israel going to do about the Palestinians? And he said, he used a pastrami sandwich analogy, if you can believe it. He said, we're going to put a strip of Palestine and put an inside, in between all of it, we're going to put settlements so that in the end, when we're finished, there's going to be no way that the UN or anyone else can do anything about it. And that's what we're watching happening throughout this year. We've been watching it happen. At the same time that people are going against international law by filling an occupied land with its own inhabitants, which we know is illegal under international law, the transfer of one's own population. The Palestinians are being transferred out of their land. This is while people are still awaiting the right of return outside. The 26 people that were exiled to Gaza from the Church of Nativity remain in exile in Gaza. Not only those 26 remain there, there are additional people being sent there from the prison population. And so now we're at 60 people that have been exiled there since the Church of Nativity, since April 2002. The prison population grows, although the number remains about the same because people go in and a lot of times people are released. The people in general, most of the people inside of the Israeli prisons are in administrative detention, which means they're without charge and they're without trial. The last group of people that was just exiled from the West Bank to the Gaza Strip were being held in Israeli prisons without charge and without trial, and now they have no hope of returning to their homes in the West Bank, and they're being dumped in the effective prison of Gaza. That's what we have, the top five stories from Palestine for the year 2003. Continued brutal occupation, continued rising death toll. That overshadowing everything else is the lie. And that the Israeli government is continuing to get away with the most successful propaganda campaign in history, and that somehow this brutal occupier still can play itself out to be the victim of the occupied. Reporting from Palestine, I'm Kristen S.